Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Guide to Joining the Military. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Scott Ostro, Air Force retired and currently an Air Force JROTC instructor and author of the book Guide to Joining the Military. And also, I have revised many, many military test prep books. Today, we're going to be talking about the ASVAB, the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery, and I'm going to take just a few minutes to talk about the importance of preparing for the ASVAB. Just like any other test that you would take, it's pretty important to prepare. While other tests like the SAT or the ACT preparing you to go to apply for college, that actually cost you something to take, the ASVAB only costs you your time. However, it's just as important, maybe even more so, especially if you plan a career in the military. The pitfalls of the ASVAB sometimes is that students who feel like they're pretty good students feel like they do not have to prepare for the ASVAB. Matter of fact, some students that maybe aren't doing very well in school still also decide that they may not have to prepare. Even so, preparing for the ASVAB is very important. Unfortunately, the scores of the ASVAB, well, nobody actually can fail. There's not a failing score, but there are minimum scores for entry to each of the military services, and I'm not going to discuss those now as they vary by service and also it sometimes vary by time. However, that score known as the AFQT or the Armed Forces Qualifying Test, that takes into account the parts of the ASVAB that include math, science, and English, math, science, and English scores. And so that score is one thing. The AFQT, also sometimes called the QT, that is the minimum score that is required for getting into each of the military branches. And that is important because you do need to get that minimum score. However, that's where most of the time people stop. They don't worry about the other scores, which are just as important, sometimes more important. And what I'm talking about is things called the line scores. Those are the things that measure your mechanical aptitude, your aptitude for electronics, your aptitude in auto and shop. Those things are important because they are the ones that will dictate what type of job training is going to be offered to you. So if you have the minimum scores, let's just say, for argument's sake, you have a 40 AFQT, and your recruiter says that's good enough to get in whatever branch. That's good enough to get in. You're going to get your foot in the door of 40, and then your line scores aren't very good. So what happens? You're told these are the jobs that are available to you, which may be very few jobs, and they may not be appealing to you. Maybe they are. Maybe all you care about is getting into the military, and you don't really care what type of job you do because all you're really doing is trying to get some money for college. So to you, it doesn't matter what job you do, but it kind of does. Those line scores are what dictate of jobs are going to be offered. So while the AFQT is important, the higher AFQT usually also means the higher line scores. So what do you need to do to increase the line scores? Well, what you need to do is study. And how do I study? Well, I'm not trying to turn this into any kind of commercial. However, I'm going to turn it into a commercial. Although I do revise the Peterson's guide for the ASVAB, mastering the ASVAB. There are other products out there, but I can only speak to the Peterson's product, which is about to have a new revision coming out. So look for that. But what you need to do is get into that book. If you get the Peterson's book, that's fine. If you get another one of their competitors, that's okay too. But you need to get into that book. And those books typically have, and like I said, I could speak for the Peterson's Guide, there are sections that will instruct you on electronics and mechanics and auto and shop, things that you may not have been exposed to. Mac, when I graduated from high school way back in 1978, when I graduated from high school, most students, especially male students, had some type of shop class, whether it was auto mechanics, wood shop, something, and a lot of the females did too. But there were shop classes, and we learned something about mechanics and tools. That's not really happening today. That's not really happening at all. So when I talk to teenagers now, and I do on a daily basis, I find out how little they know about anything mechanical at all. And that's a detriment to them, because in the past, as when I took the ASVAB many, many moons ago, I had knowledge of mechanics. So if you asked me how a four-stroke engine worked, and what was the purpose of the intake valve, and what a torque wrench was, and what a plane was used for, and what a T-square was used for, I could answer that. In today's day and age, I'm sure there are some teenagers that can answer those questions, but I think they'd be few and far between. So what do you need to do? Get into one of these books and study. Look at it. It will give you some basic information. Study that information, and I promise you it's going to increase your line scores, something that's going to help you be offered more opportunities for greater opportunities for training and some jobs that you may never have thought of. But you owe it to yourself. Now, I also want to say this, and I'm not trying to say anything bad about any military recruiter, but you have to understand, a recruiter's job is not really to be your advocate. The recruiter's job is not really to try to get you the best training that you can get. The recruiter's job is to qualify you for military service and get you through the enlistment process. That's their job. That is their job. That's what they get paid for, and that's what they're evaluated on. Not usually what to get you the best job that's the best for you. So sometimes, and I've heard it, somebody, especially in the school, because you can take the ASVAB in most high schools, somebody gets a passing, quote-unquote passing grade on the AFQT portion of ASVAB, so they meet the minimum requirement, and the recruiter says, this is what you got. And then you say, well, I don't really like those jobs. And they tell you something like, well, it'll get you in the door, and then later on you may be able to take the ASVAB again and change your job. Well, I'm going to tell you that is possible. That is possible. There is a version of the ASVAB that is given to people who are currently in the military in order for them to qualify for different training. But that is not something that's just given just because. There has to be a reason. You have to be approved and so forth. So it's better for you to come back and say, look, I didn't score very well, and I'd like to take the ASVAB again, especially if you've taken it in school. Take it again. Take the ASVAB again, but this time study and do the best that you can do. You owe it to yourself, especially if you think you might make it into a career. And even if you don't think you're going to make it into a career. When I came in the military back in 1978, I enlisted. And all military enlistments are 8 years, not necessarily 8 years active duty, but 8 years. And my ID card expired, actually. My active duty ID card expired in 1984, and my recruiter laughed at me when he saw it when I came back on leave and I visited him and I showed him my ID card and he laughed, 84. And I really couldn't imagine myself being on active duty for 6 years. But things changed, and I wound up retiring. I had 21 years of active duty and over 5 years of reserve time before I retired, got my active duty retirement. So I had almost 27 years of military service by the time I retired. And when I entered the military, I had no idea I was even going to get close to retirement, but I did. So even if you're not thinking you're going to stay with this till retirement, you should think that way. You should think that way, that I want a career, I want a job that I'm going to like, number one, and is something that I might be good at. Even if you're just coming in for the educational benefits. That's up to you. But the best thing you could do is get prepared, be prepared, insist that you're given time to get prepared, and do the best you can and get the most opportunities available to you. That's it for this episode. Hope to do another episode soon. Please stay tuned and watch to see if there are any new episodes coming up. Thank you.